come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm brilliant. How are you?
I'm good. Great win.
Much better feeling arriving back home than last week.
Yes. Well, it was great to win. Whether it was a great win or not, we'll discuss. With us is Jez. Jez, welcome.
Bulla,
is that Fijian for I'm finally back?
Yep. It's great to be back. 2 or 3 weeks off. I think, I don't know if I was managed or if I was omitted, but it's great to be back.
Definitely omitted. And with us is the Windsock 2000. Welcome, brother.
G'day, Solution. How's it going?
I'm good, mate. I'm impressed you're here because the last time, now this is two weeks ago, we normally do the podcast Sunday evening, so about 8 o'clock. So I send Windsock 2000 the invite. We do the podcast. No, Windsock 2000 doesn't turn up.
Nothing.
Then I get this message, 9:31, an hour and a half after the podcast was due to start. Ah, shit. Sorry, mate. Fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah. Well, what happens, mate? You get a bit older. You think you go down for a nap. It ends up being 2.5 hours.
Mate, you're not fucking 70. But anyway, well done for making it. All right, we've got a lot to get through. I would say it was a game of one. Was it a game of two halves? One quarter and three quarters? One and a half quarters and two and a half quarters? I don't know. But we sort of did the... I don't know why I can't post GIFs on Twitter. I wanted to, three-quarter time, post the GIF of Muhammad Ali dodging George Foreman in the rumble from the jungle, like doing the rope-a-dope. Because even though we were kind of battered all over the ground, they didn't really lay a finger on us. And we got over the line in the end. Who wants to start? Fiona, let me start with you. What's your thoughts on the game?
Was I the only one who went out of this foursome? Because
yep.
I saw the game very differently to that.
Okay.
I really did. I did.
Well,
not,
do tell.
I really didn't feel like it was a game of the last quarter. I definitely, towards the end of the last quarter, I was definitely feeling like they were running out a bit of gas, and I started to get a little bit worried. But the third quarter I didn't think was bad. I didn't think it was overly, in terms of the effort, and it seemed very consistent to the first half. I just think the first half we were a bit cleaner, a bit more silky. But yeah, I certainly didn't feel like that. And from the get-go, I felt like there was a fire in the belly of all of them. And, you know, we discussed during the week of how gutted the whole team was after the Port loss, and rightly so. And it just felt like there was a real fire in the belly from all of them. A real intensity, a real determination. Like, I felt like every tackle they approached, I had a confidence that they would lay. There were very few tackles that didn't get laid, and that was really from the get-go. So, yeah, I certainly didn't feel like the second half was abysmal. I felt like it was a great game.
I didn't use the word abysmal.
No, you didn't. I'm paraphrasing, but it didn't feel like a tale of two halves, like what you're insinuating to me.
What do you reckon, Jez? You concur with... Oh, by the way, Fiona, had you drank today? Just so we're on the same page.
Ha ha, that's funny.
I'll just ask you the question.
Bullshit. I did drink caffeine, though. No alcohol.
Okay. Jeremy?
Look, I thought it was a wonderful game. I mean, I was at home on the couch, and I just couldn't wipe the smile off my face. I mean, I feel really positive. I know it's only round 17, and I know there's a long way to go, but doesn't it feel good to watch wins, and to watch a team fight, and to watch a group grow and mature and to be fifth after round 17, I mean, it just fills me with joy. So I didn't see it as a game of two halves. I saw it as a mature performance. I saw it as a four quarter performance. We changed gears when we had to. I think if we go back and watch the replay, there'll be about a 10 or 15 minute patch after Rids went off, where the air came out of the tyres a little bit, and they had to recalibrate, and Adelaide got a bit of a sniff, but we found a way to make that work. And I loved it. It was one of my favourite games of the year.
I definitely agree with that. And the thing that pissed me off, so I sat on the couch and had to put up with Cameron Ling. It's Al today. Listening to the narrative at the end of the game, which is, oh, the Bombers have thrown away this percentage.
Negative.
It was so fucking negative. So Winstock 2000, can you just scrape the internet instantaneously for me? Is that the most amount of smothers that Essendon have ever applied in any game ever?
It seemed like a world record they were watching. The effort that was put in by all of the guys was just incredible. There's no one looks like they were a passenger today, which is the most pleasing part of the game.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you... This is how it's sort of gone the last few weeks. We just start with the Hurd and Henneman, and we just sort of use that as the axis around which we sort of rotate our thoughts on the game.
Yeah.
Who's your Hurd? Who's your Henneman? Expand. You know?
Yep.
Take your time.
Yep. There's so many good performances. It's hard to kind of narrow it down. I think Merritt was incredible. His ball use was just amazing all game, and he got a heap of it. I think he gets 39 or so possessions, which is just ridiculous. I thought down back, McGrath, Heppel, Lav, Zerk were all amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. They're all so good in their own individual ways. Nick Martin is just going from something to something else. I think he has to be in all Australian contention. He's just an incredible player. I'm so excited to see what he does in the next period of his career. But does anyone want to chime in before I give?
Well, one thing I want to ask is, was that BZT's best game for some time?
Yeah, I think so. He'd been a little bit shaky, I guess, in the last couple of weeks. He hasn't been bad. It just hasn't been as good as he was maybe earlier in the season. Yeah, that game, he really stood up for us, especially after Ridley went down, which, you know, changed the... For me, like, as soon as he went down, the whole game changed immediately, and he really stood up.
I think it's probably appropriate to mention that it was obviously the sitting Joe nomination that kicked him up a gear.
Yeah, remind me, who was going to be the sitting Joe?
Wasn't it him?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was me that gave it. Friday was a long time ago. Stop shaking your head, Fiona.
I'm appalled. I'm shaking my head, appalled at you. Can you contain anything between your ears? Is there anything that stays with you regarding this?
What was the question? Can you repeat it? What about, I didn't mind the debutant's game too. I thought he played well. The short-haired weed.
Oh, hallelujah. Are we sure? Because I'm about to say, if there's any weed bashing, I'm tapping out. I am out of here. You will see my screen disappear.
He didn't have a lot of it, to be fair. He would have had
lot of good things. And you should have seen Merritt. You should have seen Merritt loving him sick, behind the ball, going up to him, absolutely loving his work sick. I'll have, sure, I'll have none of that.
Sure, he wasn't just patting him like, this is my special friend type pat on the back, or... I'm just checking the stats. So I'm amazed. He only had 6 possessions and took 3 marks. But I thought he had a presence today.
He had a bit of impact.
We can't move past the fact that Ben Hobbs is 19. 19.
Oh my God.
He was unbelievable today. Even his fumbles, he somehow made look impressive. I know that's impossible, but he was just so focused and damaging today, and he's 19, and I've got to go back in the pod. I think it was 6 weeks ago, maybe Fiona's forecast, I said he was going to be a future Brownlow medalist because he's 19 and the upside is enormous. I know we're all frothing over Dacos, but fuck me, I tell you what, Ben Hobbs, he should never, ever, ever be out of this team, ever. And also, while I'm on it, can we just put to bed any future marrying between the words Menzie and Sub? Can we just put that to fucking bed?
Yeah.
He was so influential. I thought him and Guelphy actually did a lot of real buzzing around the forward line. So kudos to Guelphy too.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, he should just – the word Sub should never, ever be next to Menzies' name, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Jez, anyone that's yet to be sung that needs to be?
Yeah, there is. Before that, I'm really glad you mentioned Guelph, Fiona, because I thought he played a really good game last week, and this week was even better. He was in the right place at the right time. His forward pressure was fantastic. He kicked some goals. I thought he had a fantastic game, really good game. I want to mention, I thought in my voting, Rids probably was on her pace until he went off. I thought he was absolutely stellar.
Yep.
Yeah. And deserves a shout out just for his first half and for coming back on for that matter. I mean, he clearly wasn't great, but to come back on, I think shows the character of the guy. I thought Archie had a good game today. A lot of dirty work, a lot of hands dirty, a lot of heavy work.
Can we do it?
We can't.
Good marking too.
Yeah. I do want to mention his hungriness in front of goal.
Is it hungry though? I saw your tweet that he had an interview a couple of weeks ago where he said he likes the responsibility, he wants to be the one to kick the goal. And there were a couple there that were kind of borderline, but he is a very good kick for goal, and they were kickable. So I actually don't mind it. He earned the right because he played. If you watch the game again, I'm sure we'll see him do a lot of hard work and a lot of at the coalface work. Mm. I've got 2 more names.
But just the only thing that I didn't like about Perkins, and I've said in the past, I like it that there's a young player taking responsibility. Great, full marks. There was that one bit of play where he marked it sort of on the boundary line, and Essendon had a mismatch. One of those, it was a 2-on-1. One was Peter Wright, smaller opponent, just get rid of it quickly. And he kind of did the sort of fake, oh, I'm going to maybe pass it, but oh, I've lost my moment. I'm going to have to go back and kick the goal. And I was like, nah, mate, you haven't fooled me. That was not the team thing to do. And I think he just erred a little bit on the side of hungry / selfish in that moment.
I know the moment you mean. He really probably could have passed that off, but yeah, I don't mind. 2 meters.
That was one of his best games for the club, though.
I think he
racked up the possession. He spent a lot of time in the midfield. He was really handy, you know, around half back and helping us launch out of their defence. I think. Yeah, one of his definitely his best game, I think, in the midfield. He played hardly up forward, which is a shift, and I like it.
The issue I have with him is that, and I've said this on the podcast before, is I hate the fake chasing he does. the fake going to chase and then just, you know, the few steps and lunge forward. That's a fake chase. And I didn't see much of that today. So that's a shift in the right direction for mine.
But can you really tell when someone's faking, or is that a question for the Fiona's couch?
No, I can tell. I can tell from the football field to the bedroom, I can tell.
Okay. I don't know many guys that have faked it in the past, but anyway, carry on, Jez. Sorry.
No, there were two more names. I thought it was great to see Peter Wright back kicking goals and clunking marks.
Loved it.
And finally, I know how many players are there in a team? I think there was about 23. And Fiona's already smiling. She knows what I'm going to say. How good was King Kelly on Rankin?
He was. He was so good. So it was just, I watch him off the ball so much. And we say this in regards to him. His unrewarded running that he does to just create a possible target, you cannot froth any more at it. And that goal, brilliant. So deserved. You should have seen me. I was like a crazy person in a mental asylum when he kicked that.
I think the anti-social number got a real hammering. The seconds after that goal.
Oh, absolutely. And I would have gone off. I would have gone with the anti-social policeman willingly just to be able to celebrate that goal.
Well, you got quite a task there.
Oh, yeah, we've made every
2000. Oh, I reckon Snelling was good early. Too, by the way. He didn't rack up a heap of possessions, but I thought he played one of his more useful games in the red and black. Why are you laughing?
Because the word useful, it feels negative to me.
It wasn't a bit of a backhanded compliment.
It is, no, exactly.
I guess I'm quite, by saying the surprise in my voice, probably made it backhanded, but it wasn't intended to be. I thought he was useful. I don't think he's ever going to be more than useful, is he? Like, he's like a utensil in the cutlery drawer. He's not going to make the dish, but you're going to need him to help, you know, cut the lamb.
Or stick in the ends of the corn. You know those little things you stick in the ends of the corn?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Like him. Like those
little.
Yep, correct. He's little too. We might speak about him later. All right. Winstock 2000, what do you got?
Captain Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many posses did he get in the end? He 39.
And can I just say,
39.
We didn't mention. There's going to be a lot of midfielders in the All Australian team, but I'm sorry, he is one of the informed players at the moment with Dacos. It's undeniable. Yeah. It is really, he's on that level of Butters. I know they're not talking him up like that, but they really should be. Like as a whole, his captaincy, how he's leading this team, and I didn't think he had it in him. And you know, all power to him for recognizing his deficiencies in that area, because they were deficiencies. His ability to connect with his teammates and lower expectations and understand that everybody is different, has a different persona about them. You know, it takes a very big, courageous person to look that reality in the eye and then do something about it, you know. So I can't speak more highly of his leadership. And, yeah, as I said, seeing him get around Wiedemann, who, you know, has been absolutely copying it from every angle, was just, really, really pleasing to see.
Yeah, I agree. And when we mentioned every single player.
Who are you going to give the Henneman?
Well, but yeah, before,
that's
before,
a harder one.
Before you get to that, we mentioned every single player other than the guy who also got 39 possessions for Essendon.
Parrish.
Yeah. Surely he deserves.
He was good. I was disappointed at times. I mean, he uses the ball a lot. I mean, 39 times to touch the ball is a lot of times. And yeah, unfortunately, with his quality of possession, sometimes it goes a bit wrong, which cost us a little bit. But no, it was incredible as well.
All right.
Just that, like, Zach is just so damaging. His possession is just out of this world. And Parrish is not quite on that level.
No, that's fair.
I just realised there's another player we didn't mention. I thought Big Flipper battled hard all day and basically single-handedly. I didn't see two-metre Peter chop him out. I saw Weed chop him out once or
Weed.
Twice.
But yeah.
It was good. And there's another player we didn't mention who I also noticed a lot is Durham. He really needed to lift, and I thought he has a tendency to overrun tackles. He runs in like a steam train and then misses the tackle. But he laid some very, very big tackles and had some very, very big moments. There was I don't know if it was shown on the telecast, but there was a moment when a Crows player was running towards goal and two Essendon players were chasing him. And the Crows player, it's usually Hind in this situation, but the Crows player was leading and Durham gut run so hard to make a contest. I don't know if it was shown where he came from, but I just thought Durham felt like he had a point to prove today.
He did. The birthday boy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the wisdom of turning a year older, knowing he needed to have a good game, but he was good too. So yes, we really have mentioned every player.
Can I make one quick?
Oh, we didn't mention Langford, but he was good too.
Yeah, he was good too. Fucking hell. Stringer.
Redmond, yeah.
Just pausing on Phillips, there is one thing that annoys me is too often with him, when there's a big pack, and I'm not expecting him to take the mark, but there's times when he just looks, you know what, he's like a teenager with a Melways. He just gets lost.
Yeah.
He's completely lost. And you got to be able to... Exactly.
I'm kidding. Don't troll me for that. Don't troll me. I know what a Melways is. I can't read one, but I know what it is.
Yeah. But there's times when he doesn't contest enough. That's the thing that frustrates me. And again, another reason why, you know, he's been great. He's been a servant the last couple of years, and he tries and... He did some good things, but he doesn't impact the contest enough as a big guy should. But anyway.
Well, you won't have to worry about it next week because he ain't going to play. He's missing. Yeah. So, Brian, you finally have your chance, sir.
We'll get to that. All right. Who's your Henneman, mate?
I don't know. There's hardly really anyone to choose from. I mean... Jakey had a little bit of a quiet game, but I don't think it's worth a Henneman.
There's a player who came on in the last quarter who is a very clear.
Well,
hang on, he had six disposals in a quarter.
And
it was shocking.
Was there some kind of policy put in place around the sub not being eligible for the Henneman? Is that a thing at one stage?
Well, it is a... It is in the constitution, the SOC constitution.
Is it really? I want a copy. Can you send me a copy? I need to.
Yeah. But then again, I did write the constitution, so the constitution also says I can arbitrarily change any part of the constitution. We don't need all states to vote in favour.
It's such bad sub choice. He's not versatile and he's not impactful. It's just no.
Well, he is at his best. I still argue. I don't think he's.
Not as a sub, nah. Even at his best, nah. Not for me.
But I would say in a time when Henneman's are thin on the ground, you could choose him if you wanted, Winsock 2000, but I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, I don't love it, but I don't really have any other choices. There's no one in particular for me that had a bad game. There were bad moments for some players, but I think on the whole, everyone played very well. So, yeah, he did the least of anyone, but he also had the least chance to do anything. So,
all right, sorry, Dylan.
Sorry, mate.
You've been potted.
Jez has a nomination. Jez, you've got a nomination, do you?
A controversial one, but There's actually one player we haven't mentioned yet. And on my little notes, I had two names down for the Henneman. One was Dill and the other was Calders, right? He did a lot of good things, but he slipped and tripped and he fumbled and he let our Clang account and turned it over a couple of times, and I didn't love his game. And it's such a hard field to pick a Henneman from. I would have given it to Dill if it was up to me. But Calders was the only other one I thought, because I just think he had just an off day. And the guys had a massive year and a massive month. But, yeah, today I just thought he was worthy of a mention.
Yeah. He did also have that horror kick coming out of 50 late-ish in the game. This direct turnover was a goal. That was pretty horrifying to watch. But I didn't think on the whole game, I don't think he was poor. I think he tackled well. He contested well.
Tough.
While we're anointing Dill, is he anointed? Is he the one, Dill?
Yeah.
I've probably got to just fess up and make an apology. Long-time listeners, even though I've only been on this pod for about a year, might know that each year I buy a badge of a player who is going to be my favourite for the year, and usually it leads to their immediate delisting at the end of the year. This year, I didn't buy a badge, but I went all out on Dill to win the Crichton or the Herd of the Year or whatever in our pre-thing pod.
Just before you continue, name some of the names. Zach Clark.
Sean Edwards.
It's an elite group.
Tommy
Cutts. What a skill you have.
Tommy Cutts. Nick O'Brien. Yep. I think that's it. But I went all out on Dill. And I think what's happened is that the badge curse has morphed or leapt into the Herd of the Year prediction. Yeah. And it's all my fault, basically.
Yeah.
But if we stopped at the Herd of the Year now, and if actually it was a real award that we actually gave votes to and accumulated and counted, rather than just deciding the last part of the year on a whim to give it to somebody, Dylan would be in the top third, probably, of all players. Like, he had a really good start of the year, then he got injured, and he's not been the same player since. And I said on Fiona's forecast, I think they're sort of just in that horrible position of weighing up, does he go for surgery or do whatever he needs to do versus trying to squeeze the year out of him, and I don't think it's worth it.
There was that odd, remember that time last year that he got dropped early in the year and didn't actually play VFL? I think there was some little Swifty move pulled and he ended up the sub or something, I can't remember. I don't think he plays VFL, and the VFL actually had a bye this week, so maybe in the sort of longer term planning they just thought he's not ready for a full game. We can't have him have no game. We'll play him as the sub and get him a quarter or two. But yeah, he ain't close.
It's a rubbish call. If that's what they did, that's a rubbish call. As in, that's a shocking work through of a situation, because he should have played VFL last week and rested whatever injury he's carrying, or sussed out whether the injury this week. Because what better pace to test the injury than with the VFL first? You know what I mean? Like, it's just a very, that's why I'm not convinced he's injured. I just think he's off the pace. He didn't look, I mean, to me, he didn't look injured. He looked match unfit, like not match fit to me. He was, and I just keep thinking, like, if Nick Hine would come on, and yeah, he would turn it over a few times, but his energy would lift around those around him when they're starting to fatigue, you know. But anyway, what's done
it's
is
pure, that. It's pure speculation. I mean, we just don't know, but something's not right. Any other observations on?
Sorry, did we mention? And give a shout out to Hep in the Herds. We did.
I mentioned him with the slew of defenders. Okay. I think. Yeah.
Cool.
He was very good.
Oh yeah, I just wanted to say
he really stood up when Ridley went down. He took took control down there. What it looked
and,
like.
And they moved Weed back there for a little bit too, and he was very good. who Callie took a really good mark, but it wasn't. It was all because we'd put a block on for him. So little things like that. You don't get stats for that kind of thing.
I tell you what, Phil.
I don't know if you even saw that on the footage, but I was cheering for Wiedemann, and the guy in front of me said that was Kelly who took the mark. I said, yeah, I know, dickhead. I'm cheering for Wiedemann because everyone's giving him a hard time. And Kelly only got that mark because Wiedemann put a really good block on. So shut the fuck up and let me watch a footy.
Is that exactly what you said, or are you paraphrasing?
Verbatim, no. I had kids around me, so I it was a bit cleaner.
That's good. Phillips puts some good blocks on too, by the way, speaking of things that don't become stats. Also, yeah. Laverde, I thought Laverde was back to, like, that was his best game for the year.
He was good.
Without fail, yeah. Last week he started to show you that he was back, and this week just backed it up. Yeah. And he's going to have to keep that, because if Ridley is going to miss a game, and we think at least one, possibly. I know it's no structural damage, but if he is going to miss next week, Laverde is going to have to step up, and who knows, maybe your power will be back solution. Baldwin, maybe he'll get a call back.
Isn't he injured?
No. I thought he was okay. I thought it was just a 1 week thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But Jez is the VFL enthusiast, so he knows.
He normally is. And we are going to have to talk about what we do next week, shortly.
Maybe we just don't go down to Geelong and we just forfeit.
Why are we going down to Geelong, by the way?
No ruckman. We're not going to have a ruckman. Ridley's gone down.
The fucking stadium is half our construction zone.
Stadium.
Yeah. It's a disgrace.
Utterly ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. I said this at the start of the year. Essendon, we are the, I don't know how many movies there's been of the Expendables. Has it been 3, 4, whatever? We're the Expendables 27. That's Essendon this year. We are just expendable.
And they wouldn't fucking dare send Collingwood down there, would they?
Exactly.
Has Collingwood ever played down there? Have they ever made the trip? Like, they just wouldn't dare.
Not since the 80s, I don't think.
Yeah.
Anything else on the game before we move to next week, or do we?
I thought at times the telecast was poor, and this is not a shot at KO. That my KO has actually stood up the whole time, which was great. But the actual quality of camera work, especially the commentary, that's a given. That's going to be poor, but the camera work was just atrocious. The worst one for me was the Kelly goal. The camera was on Kelly the entire time. As from when he, started his run up, when he kicked it was literally just his head.
Yeah, they were showing his nasal hairs instead of where the ball was going.
It's like, where's the ball? Did he drop it onto his boot? Is the ball in the air? What's going on? And they just literally got his head the whole time. I've never seen that in my entire watching of football.
Unfortunately, right now in the back room at Marvel, there's a cameraman with duct tape around his mouth tied up, and there was Fiona behind the camera that was doing that. So that was the issue there. But
I make no apologies.
But how's Cameron Ling banging on about that Phillips? It should have been a free kick.
Oh, my God, the montage.
Yeah, exactly.
Cameron Ling didn't. Cameron Ling wasn't on the telecast.
I reckon they replayed that was 8 times.
Yeah, he was there, unfortunately, trust me.
I just watched the first half, and his voice hasn't. I've watched it on KO, and he's not commentating.
You must have that Cameron Ling filter that I need. Yeah, that audio filter.
That's an extra. You've got to pay extra for that.
Yeah, I'll happily pay extra.
But he's not on the commentary, so I don't know what you're talking about. It's Nathan Jones.
Was it Cameron Ling? Windsock 2000?
I wasn't really listening to them.
Okay. It sounded like him.
I try and block
it. Are you talking about during the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not Cameron Ling. Nathan Jones is in the commentary box with Haim and Jason. And Campbell Brown is on the ground.
Yeah, Hamish McLaughlin. I heard him a couple of times.
Hamish and Jason Bennett are commentating, and Nathan Jones, the ex-Melbourne captain, is up there. But Campbell Brown is on the ground. So I don't know where you're getting Cameron Lee from.
He sounded exactly like Cameron Ling.
KO's playing up again.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The other one that they did, I think, like, someone at that in that team thinks they're, like, you know, Martin Scorsese directing the next fucking epic or something. The other one was when Ridley went down, there was a montage of Bill and Shield just, like, warming up and then, like, not warming up and then warming up. Like, we literally watched him for 10 minutes.
No,
That's why I would have given him the Henneman, because halfway through that 10-minute montage, he actually went down into the rooms. Like, what was he doing? Was he saying to Rids, you're fucking off? What, you're on? What are you doing?
Was he just
taking a piss? I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, it was like Pulp Fiction 2. It was like Tarantino, you know, the story changes and switches.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
You would have thought in the end of the second, I think, or in the end of the second or end of the third, that Adelaide had actually got on top and were well ahead in the game, if you were listening to the commentary. Like, they were like, Adelaide team's so great and blah, blah. Like, are you fucking kidding me? We're ahead. We're dominating them.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Bizarre.
All right. Should we move to Douche and Deity? Has anyone got any nominations? I've got one for the douche. Can I go? I got a douche and a deity. My douche is Woolworths fruit and veggie section. Now, I usually try and go to Preston Market.
Yeah.
And get my vegetables there. I've seen you there, Winsock 2000, once or twice. Yeah.
Your way back from the sauna.
Yes, correct. Got to get a cucumber. I needed a broccoli. Now, this is what I want to have a go at Woolworths about. Okay, I understand you charge by weight. Why is it that the, what do you call the actual flower of the, or what do you call it? Is it the florette, or what's the green bit?
Florette.
The bit you like to eat, the florette. Why is it attached to a tree trunk? Fucking shit.
Are you one of those people that goes in and snaps it off?
I want to take my own knife.
Absolutely. My nonna, yeah, 100%. She does that.
I love it.
She takes a little paring knife with the little tip, and she takes every leaf, every one of those big leaves attached to the stalk, and then she chops off the stalk.
Well, this stalk was bigger than a tree in Redwood Forest, and it cost $27, this tiny little bit I could eat, so I might do that next time.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Nonna
power.
Yeah.
They're the only ones, like, you go to the Preston Market, you know, my favourite bakery, Winsock 2000, they jump the queue every time, and I don't know how they get away with it, and no one says anything, and I'm not saying anything either.
You can't. You just know you cannot say anything.
No.
And although they do search for knives at some Woolworths around Melbourne solution, they don't at Preston.
That's true.
No, you're fine.
No.
Well, I recently delivered a opening. There's a new opening. The Coles opened a new store in South Melbourne. And I recently did their opening. They had an opening party, and I did the cake and cupcakes for the opening. And I was wheeling in the goodies, and they said to me, the guy, the manager, CEO of Coles, said to me, did you bring a knife with you? I said, what? I said, I supply the cakes, not the cuttery, okay? Yeah. He said, we do not, this is the one Coles we don't sell knives in. I said, why? He goes, there was a few incidents, and we do not sell knives. We have no knives in the kitchen. I said, what? He goes, yeah. I said, you're going to have to cut this cake with a key. I said, I don't bring the knives. Yep. So
even in their little staff area downstairs.
That's what I said. That's what I said. Yeah. Apparently some crazy person broke into the back rooms. And so no knives allowed at South Melbourne Coles. They don't sell them. They don't have them on site.
Yeah, well, at Preston, every worker's got a knife, so that's not an issue. So that's my douche, and my deity is Alex Volkanovski. I don't know if you know who that is or anyone knows who that is, but he won his featherweight world title in the UFC this afternoon for the umpteenth time. So, yes.
Congratulations.
Yes. Looked like it left you all cold. But anyway, I was interested. What do you got, Jez?
I had a deity or two. I thought Mitch Marsh's 100, for his 100 deserves a bit of a pat on the back.
That was good.
Yeah, but mate, have you seen the score?
No, because you're making a sit here doing this.
We should be watching it like I am in the background, but it's not going well. We're going to lose.
And the douche, my douche, is the prick who sat in front of me on the way home from Fiji. Now, those of you who know me in person know I'm not a ballerina, right? And I had the only prick who decided to put his seat back in the plane. It was only like a 6-hour flight. He spent 5 hours and 45 minutes then sitting forward, not like lounging back in his seat, sitting forward watching his tiny little screen on his phone. And I stood up completely unnecessarily about 10 times just so he could see that he was putting the seat back on someone who was large.
Can I ask, did you not say anything?
No, I'm not very good at confrontation. I'm more that sort of passive aggressive type. I kicked him with my knee, but the prick just, he didn't know, he wasn't.
You didn't think to just, you know, cash in on one of your kids and say, look, dad's having a bit of a hard time here. Anyone, you happy to do a swapsie?
No, I didn't want to inflict it on them. I just sucked it up in silence and decided to publish it here, bent here.
Oh. So I want to go around the grounds, Winsock 2000. Would you say something?
What, if someone put their seat back? No, not unless it was mealtime. I'd put my seat back too.
I wouldn't say something, but I'd have a very, very loud conversation with someone next to me about how the arsehole in front of me is putting his seat back and I can't breathe and some people have no, you know, empathy and a very loud conversation that could not be.
The guy was a fucking jockey. He didn't need the room. He was just being a prick. Anyway.
I'm also of the opinion that people are allowed to recline their chairs because I am a person who I spend, you know, 12 hours a day on my feet. And I do 60-hour weeks often. So when I sit down for more than 1 hour, my bum and my back go to absolute shite. So if I'm not constantly moving and I need that extra recline, and if I don't get up straight away when the plane lands, when I'm allowed to get up, I'm in so much pain. So I'm of the opinion, I know lots of people say it's a 2-hour flight, you don't recline, but I'm of the opinion that you can recline because you don't know what that person is going through. So
I agree, but I think there's a fair level and sort of accepted etiquette around reclining. You don't recline before you've fucking taken off, which I've had before, even though the...
Well, you're not allowed.
Well, that's right, even though the flight attendant told them multiple times to pick it up. I think you don't recline during meals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also if you're leaning forward, like I must admit, this is where I've just become old and grumpy. I would have said, mate, do you mind? Like you're leaning forward. Could you just please? Because it's right in my face. I'm a big guy. Like I wouldn't have just suffered in silence. But maybe that's
What I don't like is if they change it many times. Like just where you're gonna sit, you know? Don't go back and then up, you know.
I think we need to get Peter Wright on this pod and just ask him because he does a lot more flying than me, and just you know ask him what his thoughts are on chairs.
I reckon you find he and Drapes. I'm told that he and Drapes both very very regularly sit in the extra leg room seats. In the business section, yeah. So I think I think 2 meter and Drapes are fine.
The exit aisles, most probably.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of sidetrack etiquette, plane etiquette for you all.
Exactly, exactly. Any other douche and deity nominations? No?
Can I just say, I've got two more things to say, Solution, but I'm in your hands as to when
Well,
when
you may as well say them now, mate.
I haven't been on for a few weeks. I've listened to the 10-year OG pod Festivus that's unrolled over the last couple of weeks, and I just want to say how magnificent it is and how, and congratulations to you and your team, how awesome it has been to listen to DJ and Sweeper and The Apprentice, but also the synergy that you guys had, obviously built up over over the years, and it was just fantastic. And it is an honour to be one of the current custodians of your tradition, and so I thank you for that. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jez. As somebody who's done this for 10 years, I'm not used to compliments from fellow pod members. Normally my role is to get potted, so I don't quite know how to react, but I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm just spewing the audio in both those podcasts was subpar, but again, many have commented was probably
on brand.
Yes, appropriate brand.
So that was the first thing. The second thing was, this is now old news, but we a few weeks ago watched the Freo game with the GOAT, Charlie Dons.
We did.
And the lads from Don the Stat, Jono and Ian Hume.
I neglected to mention that too. I thought about that afterwards in the last pod.
Well, what I was going to say is, in case you guys hadn't done it, I wanted to throw a shout out to all those guys, those three guys, because they're very generous with their time, and we had a great night. The result was shite, but it was great listening to Jono and Ian in particular, doling out some analysis and some stats while we did our usual just sort of yelling and wailing and moaning.
Yeah, we needed to do it.
I felt like I had I just needed to say, hey, when's the last time Kelly kicked a goal? Hey, I just felt like I had my own personal.
ChatGPT, your own personal AI sitting right there.
It was beautiful. And I feel like they've created their own statistical, I don't know what you call it, some statistical app themselves that they have, but they reckon it's just Google. But I reckon they're lying. I reckon they've got some, they've created some magical stat system because they're just quick with the stats. They just know them.
We meant to have that, but the fucker falls asleep and misses the podcast. Jesus. The Windsock 2000 has been in development for at least 6 years.
That is also on brand, is it not?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Technology falls asleep.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to those guys. They're very good, very generous. And Humey dubbed it the Don the Sock Night, which I thought was great, and may there be many more in years to come.
Yes, but there was no coincidence that at the head of the table was Charlie Dons.
Mm.
And I almost felt like we were kind of his acolytes, just sort of
we were his disciples. We were just paying our respects to the GOAT.
Yes, he is. No, well said. Lots of nice magnanimous things you're saying, mate. As I said, very off brand.
I just want to try to get back next week and not be managed again.
Well, I do appreciate all you guys as well for being part of the Windsock family.
I thought Jez had been sent to the knackery at some point. Did I get that look, right? Do I get credit for knowing that? Do I get credit for knowing what that word means?
You do. You do. Thanks. I'm impressed. Yeah. No, he didn't. The horsey float didn't. It drove past his house, but it didn't stop. Which is good. Right. So next week.
It's about to get dour, guys. It's about to get dour. That was all fun, but it's about to go downhill.
This is why we have to enjoy this game. Why the hell we are playing in Geelong? I mean, are any Essendon supporters, does anyone have tickets? It'd be impossible, I assume.
No.
A game that would have.
I am all for them having the home advantage. They absolutely, everybody gets a home advantage. But not when half your stadium is still in construction and you can't get in.
Correct.
So that's my two cents.
I think that's reason number 27 not to have it down there, but it's a very, very good reason. Honestly, like no other big club goes down there. Why are we?
No, it's always Swans or GWS or someone like that, and that's fine, fair enough, not a problem. But the fact if it was at Marvel, they'd get 50 plus. If it was at the G, they'd get, I don't know, 70 plus.
70, yeah.
And they're going to get 30 something, aren't they?
If that, I don't think they can even get in 30 with the construction.
And probably it's probably worth, you know, a 4-5 goal advantage to Geelong as well.
Easily. And they'll be, out of the 30, there'll be what, 2,000 Essendon supporters?
If we're lucky, if we're lucky. Yeah. So we, some big outs. So Ridley will be out, I think, barring a miracle. Phillips, we think. Yeah, exactly. You think Phillips will go because there's no media that's just going to allow that slip. So he'll go for that. Do we foresee a couple of talls coming in?
Nick Cox might get a run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be Cox.
They've been playing him in the back line, haven't they? So he may be a swap for Ridley. Try and do that interceptor. He's not a bad mark, is he? I think he's quite a good mark.
Good mark.
Mm.
Give him a chance to just read the ball. And then Hawkins. Hawkins.
Oh, my God. I forgot about Hawkins.
Not a great game to come in after being out for a while, is it?
Didn't Ridley do a good job on Jeremy Cameron in that? Yeah, he did. Oh, Jez is nodding.
Yeah. Ridders is important. We saw it earlier in the year.
Oh.
Do we foresee Nick Bryan coming in? Where's Draper at? Can we just pump him full of something? Drugs? No?
I doubt it.
I reckon we just blow next week off, really. I reckon these two games, what we just had today, Adelaide and then Geelong next week, I reckon in my head, if we lost both of them, we would have been obviously outside the eight and I reckon struggling. Winning one of them is par. I reckon Stringer's carrying something. I don't reckon he's right. Give him a week off. Rids out. Leave Drapes out. You know, throw in a Cox or something like that. Just blow next week off, I reckon.
It's not a bad strategy. So
I don't mind it. Honestly, I know it sounds like you're being facetious, but I actually don't mind it.
No, I reckon focus next week should be on the VFLW. The VFLW. You know I'm a VFL person. I just want to very quickly, VFLW girls made the finals. They won the flag last year, so they're defending the flag. They made the finals. They finished fifth. They won their first final on the weekend against Hawthorn by, I think, 3 points. Other results fell their way today, which means because of the vicissitudes of the VFLW ladder, they end up with a second chance, a double chance. So the flag defence is alive and well. Get on the VFLW girls next week.
Brilliant. And what does vicissitudes mean?
I can't remember.
Yes, go VFLW, ladies. Good luck. Now, all right, give me your predictions and, yeah, we'll go.
Geelong will win by 7 goals.
Oh, in stock 2,000.
Yeah, 32-point loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be a loss. I think all of Brad Scott will have made it his absolute job to really learn from the Cats game earlier in the year, but it will be a loss, and I think it'll blow out, pardon me, in the last quarter. Yeah, I reckon might be close to 40. Yep.
Yeah, I'd say this team does fight. I'll say 37 points.
Hmm.
But I'd pick Geelong if they play as the G, let alone down there. In the construction side.
Yeah, I think at this stage of the season and where we're at with personnel available, I think they'll touch us up wherever we play them.
Oh well, that's mildly depressing. But to your point, Jez, we need to look at the bigger picture, and to be in the mix is probably beyond all of our expectations, is it not?
Well, to be fifth after round 17 is fantastic, and blow Geelong game off. I mean, we, you know, whatever happens, but the following Friday against the Doggies, that's
a big one.
That'll be big. We need to be cherry ripe for that.
We have not beaten the Dogs in a long time.
No.
It's been a very long time.
Well, it's always hard when Cody Waitman brings his own umpires.
Yeah, that's going to be frustrating, really fucking frustrating, and I hope Kelly plays on him and gives him a bath. It's our first and only Friday night game, so I hope every single Essendon supporter gets down there.
Good point. All right. Anything else before we go? So, did you listen to the song of the week?
Yes.
So, I did a song of the week. It was titled, it's Lady Gaga, the only Lady Gaga song I've ever done.
Finally, a song I know.
You need to expand your repertoire. I told you, there's a lot of good songs out there. The Shallow, I think it's called. It's the one she did for that movie.
That movie? Jesus.
What's it called? What's the movie called?
Well, I'm not telling you. If you don't know, you're beyond helping.
I'm not that interested.
Well, okay.
I didn't see it. But, yeah, it's about, I think I titled in the song, Snelling Will Drown in the Shallow. It's basically just shitting on a guy for being short. I feel bad, actually. But there's no nuance or subtlety to it at all.
But it is a good choice because you do look like Matthew McConaughey solution.
I've been told that many times. Yes. Yes. No comments?
I will say that I was lucky enough to be sitting in the Medallion Club today, and I went to get a coffee as Brad and the coaches were running down, you know, so they corner off the section on either side and you have to wait there. And I was pretty much the only one standing there because I guess this was three-quarter time, sorry, and he was running down and I couldn't help myself, but I said, Brad, we love you. We all love you. And he turned around and he gave me a wink and he said, thank you. And I just loved the look he gave me. I thought, oh, my God. And, you know, he was so serious. He looked like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders. This was at three-quarter time, mind you. And it was just so cute because he really looked like he'd never been told that in his life. Like, he just looked so appreciative.
Well, when you see that moon face, he's sort of got a downturned mouth. When you see it sort of turn around and smile.
I must say he's much slimmer in person than he comes across on TV. He looked, it really is true. TV does add a few pounds because he's much slimmer, but I thought I couldn't help myself. He was almost out the door, and then I just spat it out.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Do Archie and Kel know that you're, do Archie and King Kel know that you're throwing out those sorts of
L word?
Well, you know, this was just a, you know, he's the one who's gotten King Kel up and going, so, you know, he needs some. I just thought he needed to know. I hope he knows. I hope Brad knows how much we value him and that he's valued.
Yeah, I can break it down for you, Jez. For Fiona, that's sort of the love you might have for your favourite uncle.
Yes.
Whereas the love for the other two is a different sort of love.
You have just summed it up very, very well.
Beautiful. Well,
I think the antisocial line got a call shortly after that comment too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got me blacklisted now. They got my picture up. They got my picture up in the offices.
Very good. All right. Well, on that note, check out our sponsor, Something About Cake. It's booking season, isn't it?
Yep.
Fiona, so get on the website, have a look, get your... I don't know, maybe get some September orders in for red and black cakes in anticipation.
Tell you what, this time last year, woof, can you remember how you were feeling this time last year? Like I wanted, like you wanted to die and regretting very much whichever parent pushed Essendon on you. Because it was a very different feeling, wasn't it?
Just need to listen to a podcast from last year for the evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
It's putrid. But no, things have changed.
My point is, how is it we're even considering finals? That's my point. Like, it's ridiculous.
Mm. True. And also, I can't believe I'm going to say this, if we played a final, we'd at least be competitive because this team's competitive.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Let's just have it at home, please.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Not fair. Really, I want to go.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to fuck off. So thanks to everyone that listened. Check out the sponsor, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
No bombers.
Tell me something, boy. A football player the size of a toy. Will you grow some more? Is it true you make Walla look tall? Good at tackling. In the good times I think to myself, slow at running. Yes, in the bad times I want you soaked. You jump in the kids' pool, watch as you dive in. You never touch the ground. Good on a wet surface, in the air you can't help us. You'll drown in the shallow now. Snelling would drown in the shallows. Snelling will drown in the shallows. Snelling will drown. You'll drown in the shallow now. Plus you're slow. Oh, 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 oh. Yes, you're slow. Snelling will drown.